To recap, we're talking to the candidates in the accidental Senate race. Oregon State Senate District 3 was the domain of Senator Alan Bates, who died suddenly in early August. The November election is to fill the last 2 years of his term in office. Republican Alan DeBoer and Democrat Tanya Morrow are the candidates. We just finished with DeBoer. Tanya Morrow is an attorney and board chair for the Rogue Valley Transportation District and here in the studio. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So give people the quick thumbnail sketch on you and your qualifications.
Thank you. Losing Senator Bates was a tragedy for all of us. I had the great opportunity to have a bit of a day off from the campaign, and I ran up to the Senate Memorial on Monday. Tuesday. I was really glad. No, it was a Monday. I was really glad I was able to do that. It's amazing the respect that Senator Bates had among all of his colleagues. And our community just owes a debt of gratitude to him, his legacy, and his family for making such a sacrifice and representing us so well. And I worked with Dr. Bates on a couple of directly supported several issues that he was working on regarding mental health, foster care, those kinds of things, and the Healthy Climate Act over the last couple of sessions. And like him, I know that we don't need to send a representative that is going to be looking out for the largest corporations and the wealthiest individuals in our community. Dr. Bates was a true healer, and what he always wanted to do was make everybody's lives better. And he looked out for small businesses, for working families, for women, for children, for students, for seniors, and for family farms. And I will continue to do that work. I have that point of view. My father was in the military and learned a trade. He was an electrical engineer for many years. My parents then ran small businesses doing some real estate work in Florida. My grandfather was a carpenter. They had a family farm. I was the first in my family to graduate with a 4-year degree and went on to law school. And as a lawyer, I have represented small businesses. I've represented local cities, including Jacksonville and Talent in our community.
City attorney. Mm-hmm.
Yes, as city attorney. And I know the ways that, state policy can affect our local communities. I've represented, individuals without, great wealth that, are under our system of government entitled to their case and having their case presented. As a community leader, I've recently conducted some forums regarding poverty, affordable housing, and transportation. And I know what we can do when everybody's voice is heard. We can accomplish a lot. And I hope to be the candidate that's elected to continue that work of Dr. Bates.
One of the things you take credit for on your website is positioning Southern Oregon to prosper in a clean energy economy. What kinds of things have you done?
Last couple of years, I've been working through a nonprofit organization called Rogue Climate to attempt to harness our energy policy. This is what we really need to do, I believe, to create a new economic engine for us. And that is, we've just not been paying attention to energy policy in the state. So at the local level, we've been organizing communities to start planning energy at the local level, the city council level, for instance. And we're hoping to bring additional jobs to the community by, developing solar, the low-hanging fruit is with regard to solar and making our homes and businesses more energy efficient. When we do that, we keep our money here. We have, and therefore, folks have more money to go spend at our local small businesses.
Are there any clean energy jobs you can point to as having been created by your efforts?
We actually have a recent grant. I'm no longer on the board. I've stepped down because of the candidacy. But we have a recent grant where we're going to be helping to bring in energy-efficient appliances into. And so that will be spurring some additional marketing for those vendors. So those kinds of things are happening.
Let's talk about replacement revenue and Measure 97, which would bring in potentially $3 billion more per biennium but also is a tax on gross receipts on C corporations. Where do you stand on 97 and why?
Well, I support 97. I think we need to acknowledge that for the last 20 or 30 years, we've really underinvested in things that make provide a foundation for a successful economy, and that is investing in our students and our education system. There's a reason that we are, have the third largest class sizes, and I've heard from teachers, and it just breaks their heart. They can't get the job done. There's a reason that we've slashed, technical and career kind of education, and we've even slashed, education that provides that well-rounded curriculum, which including PE and art and music, and it's because I believe that we have a structural problem with regard to our corporate tax. We are dead last in the country. So the biggest corporations in the country, most of which are national, multinational corporations that will be affected by this measure, have been paying much more in taxes to every other state in the country. We need to have resources to devote to our education system so that we are no longer fourth in the nation, last, as far as graduation rates. So we have to make that investment. And money is one way to do it. Of course, time is another way of doing it. But it's really clear that we have another source of money that the other states in the country have been tapping into, and we should do the same. And it's time to do it. The teachers have been struggling with this for so long that they went out and finally decided we're going to find a solution, and here it is.
Is money being wasted, though, in Oregon state government? Do you see places where things just aren't going well, where money is just getting littled around willy-nilly?
Well, we have a lot of services that are needed. We have seniors we have some really great pilot projects in Oregon. We're known for our innovation, but we haven't been able to fund them. So there probably are. As with all, I was a federal employee for a while, so, I'm not unfamiliar with the fact that there can be waste. I've seen it on the ground. So that there are some things that we can do. I think there's some mostly kind of cultural things that we can do to make sure we have some really good oversight. But one of the other things that I do think we need to do, and I've seen with regard to our energy policy, is that there has been a lack of agency oversight at the level I think we need. So I intend to make that a big focus as well.
Tanya Morrow, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, running for the Oregon State Senate in District 3 in southern Jackson County. She is a Democrat. We heard from Alan DeBoer earlier. You can join the conversation when we come back from this break. Back with Tanya Morrow and your phone calls and emails in a minute five. .836 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're partway through a visit with Tanya Morrow, who's a Democrat running for Oregon State Senate in Senate District 3, vacated by the sudden death of Alan Bates in early August. So this election is for a two-year term. We talked to Alan DeBoer earlier. Tanya Morrow in the studio now. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So board chair at Rogue Valley Transportation District, the bus line in the greater Medford-Ashland area, helped pass a levy there. Your opponent is a car dealer, so let's flip roles here. What transportation priorities do you have for private cars and highways and things like that?
I've had the pleasure of being invited to and have been serving on the Oregon Public Transportation Policy Advisory Committee. So we're in the process of rewriting the 40-year plan for that. So I have really enjoyed learning about transportation policy in the state over the last couple of years. We have needs. Our roads and bridges are in need of repair. So I think it's real clear from participating at the Joint Legislative Committee meeting the other day. I was able to participate at the lunch meeting, and one of the questions the legislatures wanted to know is just how much of a gas tax increase are we really going to need in order to start, again, investing in our infrastructure. And this is good for the economy. We're going to need to repair the roads. There's a real emphasis on dealing with the seismic issues related to bridges. So there'll probably be some attempt to find some funds to do that. So it's likely we will have an increase in the gas tax, which is something that I think we need to support. We'll have to see how much of that we'll need. But when it comes to public transportation and alternative modes of transportation, we need to find some funding for that as well, because we need to have smart growth in our community so that we make it easier for people to choose alternatives to individual vehicle trips. And so finding, for instance, a little pot of money at the state so that we can match federal dollars for small urban transit systems and rural transit systems will go a long way. So it's actually a bit of a drop in the bucket. And so I hope to go and be able to at least push that forward. There was a bill that was introduced in the short session, but it wasn't, you know, everybody wanted to wait till the larger packages is brought forward. So I feel like I know what the issues are. I'll hit the ground running, and I'll hopefully be able to make sure that our rural and small urban areas get some of the resources that we need in order to increase public transportation as well as maintain those roads and bridges.
So one of the bigger issues, obviously, for lots of people is schools, and particularly K-12 education. Oregon does not have a good graduation rate relative to the rest of the country, ranked somewhere between 46th and 50th in recent years. Assuming Measure 97 does not pass, and you just got to play with the hand you already have here, what do you do in the state legislature to improve schools?
Right. Again, I believe we have a structural fiscal problem with regard to our corporate tax situation. So I will see what the voters do here, and to the extent that there are some unintended consequences if Measure 97 passes, then we'll address them. But we can't wait much longer to actually fix this problem. We do need to invest in our students. That's the way we create economy. People with talent like to live in a place where public policy supports their personal ambition. So you have to have good schools. You have to have a good transportation system. You just have to have all of that great infrastructure, smart development in order for people to come and apply their talents and make the economy grow. So that's an important part of actually economic policy.
Okay, well then it relates obviously not just to K-12 education, but to higher education as well. District 3 is the home to Southern Oregon University and Rogue Community College, or part of Rogue Community College anyway. What can the state do what can the legislature do to make the program offerings no less than they are now, and perhaps keep tuition held harmless?
Yeah, we'll have to, really see how creative we can get. But my goal would, again, to be able to find resources, so public and private partnerships, perhaps, where we can start creating some innovation centers, some technology laboratories to endow some chairs, so we bring this talent and we raise up this talent that we already have in our university system, so we can continue to ramp up our innovation and our leadership in sustainability. Again, focusing again on an energy policy, because I think there is a huge growth area there if we can create new products and be part of this new movement to really focus on our energy use and how efficiently we use smart grids, smart homes that are actually producing power, that kind of thing. So I think we can do it. We just need to make an investment.
On the issue of health care, you're trying to replace a doctor who obviously of knowledge was instrumental in the creation of the Oregon Health Plan. I mean, what can you do to keep access high and cost down for health patients?
One of the things we did was we have this experiment with the CCOs, and I think it's a bold move.
Coordinated care organizations.
Yeah, coordinated care organizations. And each region gets, had the ability to develop their own. So this is a bit of an experiment in a sense. So now, a couple years into this now, we can take a look and see, which ones are working best, and potentially help replicate models to the extent that they're not working as well in other areas and provide incentives, because each community still should have control over how they're providing that health care. Looking forward to a recent meeting I have this week with Senator Kipthopper. former governor, Kitz Hopper. So hoping to learn a little bit more about that. But one of the things I'd like to do is continue Senator Bates' work with regard to mental health. He was real concerned about moving mental health into, you know, completely integrating it into our healthcare system. And that's really important. The work I do as a public defender, I see how absolutely important providing mental health and making it so much more accessible in our schools, because kids are traumatized there, and if they aren't, those issues aren't addressed, they end up leading to criminality and stuff. So I hope to continue that work.
Tanya Morrow is a Democrat running for Oregon State Senate District 3, the seat formerly occupied by Senator Alan Bates. Alan DeBoer, the Republican, joined us before this, and thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff. It's always fun to be here.